This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Tweet us at Mike Golic Jr. at ChrisKenny99. And we've been reacting throughout the show on the news from the Chicago Bears. Make the official announcement that Justin Fields will be the starter. Andy Dalton gets hurt in the first half of their game against the Cincinnati Bengals last week, and Justin Fields finished it out for them, able to come up with their first win of the season. And we've got a little bit of sound from Matt Nagy talking about the decision to make the announcement to start Justin Fields.
Andy is still battling through his injury. We're glad that it's not his ACL. Justin's going to be our starter. Prep starts starts right now. And get out there and have a week of practice and see where that goes. But I know he's looking forward to it. Andy's been great. He's been extremely supportive. And this is a part of the business. And so now it's a great opportunity for Justin and for all of us as a staff to be able to take this thing and see where he goes with this.
I feel like there was a fist pump off to the side after that praise statement, right?
Yes. I'm telling you, Jordan game six, right? Because I finally feel like this lets Matt Nagy and it lets Ryan Pace off the hook. Like, this is the decision that they've been wanting to make ever since they made the decision to move up in the draft to take Justin Fields. Give him an opportunity sooner rather than later to see if he can save our jobs. Because right now, the development of the young franchise quarterback is the only thing that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace can hang their hat on during their tenure together in Chicago.
Yeah, I think, especially when these ones are close to call, right? Like, we've seen a couple of these quarterback races for teams that are good teams. You know, Cam Newton and Mac Jones took their competition late into camp there. Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo on a 49ers team that we expected to be good. Like, tie goes to the veteran in a spot where you're thinking about playoff aspirations. For the Bears, I don't know if you were there to hear, it was more like, all right, what are Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace going to do? Because it feels like their jobs are on the line to me, and this definitely speeds up the clock for that, right? You're going to be judged now if you're Matt Nagy on, all right, what do you do with this guy? Because they invested a lot into going up to get Justin Fields. He's going to be here. The answer now that they've got to figure out is Matt Nagy going to be the one with him?
Yeah, that's the question that has to be answered, but Matt Nagy can do himself and Justin Fields a favor by being able to build the offense around what Justin Fields does well. Like, we know that there's always a learning curve that comes along with playing quarterback in the NFL versus being a quarterback in college. There are going to be some things that Justin Fields is going to take a lot of time on in terms of his overall development, but that doesn't mean that you can't win games in the interim. Like, I feel like there's an opportunity for this team, maybe not this week with the Cleveland Browns, but after that, you've got the Detroit Lions. That's a soft spot to land for a young quarterback. So Matt Nagy can help his cause by being able to play to Justin Fields' strengths. And that's what I'm anticipating this Bears offense pivoting to after the first couple of weeks with an Andy Dalton game plan.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We heard Jason Peters, their, you know, all everything left tackle, when we were talking to Jeff Dickerson before, said it's a different ballgame as an offensive lineman when you're blocking for a guy like Justin Fields. And Chris, I can attest to that. You know, we did the two quarterback thing in some instances. My fifth year in college, had a guy who could run around, had a guy who was a stationary pocket passer, and you got a different clock in your head. You have a different understanding of where the quarterback's going to be setting up. That I think in a lot of instances is going to help this offensive line that struggled in certain spots here. Defensively, though, we know on the other side, Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, this front seven for the Cleveland Browns. How does it change that for the defense that's going against a guy that they've seen in limited bits but not like a full game sample size on?
Well, Mike, it slows them down, right? Like, I mean, when you have a quarterback that can use his legs both in the run game and for second reaction opportunities in drop back passing situations, like, as a defense, you're more concerned about trying to contain him and corral them than you are worried about trying to attack the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the thing that can help that Chicago Bears offensive line, a group that's kind of been shuffling because they've had to deal with some injuries, and off the top, they're not very good anyway. So I feel like Justin Fields, just by being out there on the field, is going to help everybody else on that offense. And I think when you start looking at some of the issues that the Cleveland Browns defense has had in the early going, they haven't necessarily been great at being able to contain mobile quarterbacks. We saw Tyrod Taylor get loose and run for a touchdown last week because Jadeveon Clowney decided he wanted to get too far up the field. So I think there's going to be opportunities for Justin Fields to do some damage with his legs, and that's going to add a different dynamic, a different element to this offense, and that's something that helps the Bears overall.
Justin Fields, quarterback we mentioned, played in some big-time games at Ohio State here, talking about his nerves heading into this first weekend and his first start.
I used to not be this way, so, you know, I've definitely learned from past experience, you know, past first starts. I still remember my first start in high school. I was nervous as can be, but, yeah, so I think, you know, just being more this way, just being stoic and, you know, being even-keeled, I think that just keeps my mind calm and, you know, allows me to think more.
I used to not be this way. I'm a cold dude. He's getting back to his ways, apparently, on this one, Chris. Like, I don't know. And I get what he's saying because that's a learning curve for everybody, right? Like, I was, before games, I was a puker. I had to get it out there like the, you know, Mark Schlereth.
Not Willie Beeman style.
Not quite that style, necessarily. This is a different kind of thing that was inducing the puke in that spot. But for a young quarterback, like, to settle him down going into this game, Chris, I do think they have a few advantages built into this offense, right? Like, you got a bona fide number one in Allen Robinson, who's been looking for help for a while now to go to as an option here. Cole Kmet, your second-year tight end out of Notre Dame, is always a great weapon for a quarterback, whether that's in normal drop back, especially when you start moving the pocket, and in this RPO stuff that I think they should absolutely wear out. Like, we know Matt Nagy's got some of this in his bag, and they've used some of the mobile quarterback stuff with Mitch Trubisky, but even that for so long, Chris, felt like it was square peg, round hole. Like, Matt Nagy was resistant to kind of starting to cater to what Mitch Trubisky could do best as opposed to what Matt Nagy wanted to do as a coach.
Yeah, well, I think Matt Nagy was trying to force a certain timeline on Mitch Trubisky's development rather than just evolving the offense around what he was seeing from the quarterback. But I think he's learned his lesson. And if he hasn't, then he's probably going to be out of a job sooner rather than later. But I think in this situation, because Justin Fields has shown the ability to push the ball down the field, because we've seen his ability to be able to take off with the rock when things break down, like I feel like this offense has an opportunity to have a lot more success and be able to move the ball more consistently than what we've seen in their first couple of ball games. They got to embrace the RPOs. They got to embrace the read option stuff. That's just the way of the world in today's NFL when you have a dual threat quarterback. So in terms of trying to limit Justin Fields and the use of his legs, I don't think that can be Matt Nagy's approach. I don't think he has that luxury. This dude is running out of time, and the only guy that can extend his time in Chicago as their head coach is Justin Fields.
You mentioned it a bunch of times, too, and we always talked about this with a lot of the older quarterbacks. Like, we always bring this up with Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady. They came into the league with the benefit of great defenses on the other side where you didn't have to ask them to do too much. Now, Justin Fields is going to be a mix of that because I think he's talented enough and accomplished enough to do both. I thought he was the second best quarterback in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence.
Agreed.
And I still do. And you look at this defense right now, sixth in the NFL in defensive efficiency through the first 2 weeks here. We know the talent that's always been there, Chris. And you know this as a defender, like the complimentary football portion of this, having an offense that can stay on the field longer, that's got more variables, and that you just feel more confident. We saw it on the field for them when Justin was in towards the second half of last week here. There is a different bounce to that unit.
Oh, that defense was flying around. I mean, Joe Burrow hadn't thrown a pick in 199 attempts before the one that he threw to Roquan Smith that ended up going to the house for six. And then after that, he threw two more. Like, you saw that defense play with a different level of energy. And you can't tell me that's not in part thanks to knowing that they have Justin Fields under center and that offense has a chance for big plays and opportunities to score on any given drive. Like, there's a different type of optimism that comes along with having a quarterback that has Justin Fields' skill set. And guys have seen it throughout the course of training camp. You've seen it in the preseason games. And so to actually have a chance now with that guy on the field versus Andy, it's going to make a difference. Like, I can't ignore what I saw in that Rams game where the Bears defense looked lifeless in the second half. Like, I can't. Now, I get it. You're talking about a different animal when it comes to the Bengals offense versus Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp and company. But at the same time, the energy level that defense played with is not something to be ignored. And so I think that's what this organization has been waiting for, the shot in the arm that Justin Fields gives them when he's out there on the field. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace been pumping the brakes. They don't want to hype it up. But now that Andy Dalton's gotten hurt, there's no reason for them to stand in the way of Justin Fields being able to take over this job and keep this job as the starting quarterback.
Yeah, forget pumping the brakes here. Let's cut him out and go speed rules on this. Keep this thing above 50 and let's grip it and rip it in Chicago here. So Justin Fields, we both believe should remain the starter even when Andy Dalton comes back, no matter what Matt Nagy says about this being Andy's job when he is healthy. We don't think that's going to be the case, and we don't think that's going to take much convincing. Coming up next, though, let's head to the NBA. Can Doc Rivers actually convince Ben Simmons to come back and play for the 76ers? We'll tell you what he said on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Danny Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And Mike, we've been having a conversation along with everybody else in the sports world about Ben Simmons, Sixers point guard. Woj gave the report a couple of days ago saying that Simmons wasn't going to report to training camp when they kick it off next week. And it feels like Doc Rivers' comments post-game after the Hawks series is a part of the rift that Simmons has with the organization. Let's hear Doc Rivers. He joined KJM this morning to talk a little bit about that.
That's not what I said, actually. This is when narratives, and this is what makes our jobs hard. I actually said when the guy asked, guys, I'm not answering that stuff right now. I don't even know how to answer that. Ah. So what I was talking about was not answering the question.
Wow.
It had nothing to do with Ben. Yeah. But I said, you know, it's funny, the next day, because my daughter, actually, Callie, called me and said, hey, you better clean that up. I know exactly what you were saying, but they're going on with a different narrative. So the next day, I did an impromptu press conference and said it again. I said, guys, for whoever's running this narrative, you know that's not what I was saying. Ben knows that. Rich Paul knows that. But, you know, it's amazing how it gets started and it just takes a life of its own.
Mike, we got it wrong with Doc Rivers?
Well, you know what? Let's run back the sound in Doc's own words and see exactly what this looked like for him. Because, again, I understand this is probably a bit of damage control. This has become the headline. Ben Simmons' feelings are out in the media. And so you want to come and steady the ship. But all of a sudden, when this becomes the narrative being taken out of control, like, I just want to go back. This is Doc Rivers after that Eastern Conference finals or Eastern Conference semi loss to the Atlanta Hawks talking when asked. He was specifically asked about Ben Simmons' ability to be a point guard on a championship team.
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
And Chris, I have a ton of respect for Doc Rivers. Like, this isn't trying to, like, do some gotcha thing with Doc Rivers, but this is also, like, all right, this wasn't a narrative here. This was an opportunity where the answer being yes in that instance makes this all go away. But you can understand, he is frustrated after a loss in that series. He's emotional. It's right after a game in that spot. And we just might have gotten a little more of the truth of his feelings than we bargained for.
But Mike, he's a veteran coach. Under those circumstances, he should know better. Like, you got to make sure that you give yourself space away from being able to make comments like this that could, you know, jeopardize your relationship with one of your stars. Ben Simmons is supposed to be one of the cornerstones from the process. All that losing that they did in the early 2010s, you know, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid is what the Sixers have to show for it. So when you get asked a point-blank question like that in a post-game interview, either you say you're not going to talk about it at this time, or you just go ahead and you say yes, and you'll figure it rest out later. Like, to me, I don't know the downside as to taking the approach and doing the latter. Like, I don't know what the downside in that moment is of saying Ben Simmons is a point guard on a championship contender. It makes no sense to me, but what makes even less sense is him trying to walk those comments back down and saying this is a narrative that was created by the media. Nah, bruh. This is what you created, and now you're trying to pull that cover three backpedal and walk all of those comments back. It's not going to work. It's not going to get Ben Simmons to report to training camp on time. It's not going to give Daryl Morey more leverage when it comes to any conversations regarding a trade with Ben Simmons. So, I mean, the damage is already done. You know, you can't put the genie back in the lamp with this thing. And ultimately, Ben Simmons is no longer going to be a Philadelphia 76er.
Yeah, that's what this ultimately comes down to, right? And I do have to laugh that Doc Rivers is the one that has to come out and answer for this, because that part of it I do understand, Chris, him coming out and hitting the back pedal now. Like, they're trying to just make sure as an organization they're hearing something. And like you said, the obvious answer at the time, if you cared about saying the right thing, would have been, yes, he can be the point guard in a championship team. The obvious answer now is what they're trying to apply and saying, yeah, we want Ben back. What are you talking about? We want him to be a Philadelphia 76er. This isn't coming from us. Oh, golly gee, no. Like, that's not where we're at in all of this. But again, you got to wonder, like, it took this long for us to hear it. Like, unless I'm wrong, and I know Doc Rivers mentioned he had the press conference after to clear that up, but we've been having some version of this Ben Simmons conversation for a while. Have we heard? And I'm listen, Cliff, I'd open this up to you, our producer Cliff, who is the actual Philly fan on this staff. Have we heard much in the way of the 76ers organization refuting any of this during the offseason when we've been having this conversation?
Not one bit. And Doc Rivers almost tore his Achilles trying to backpedal that badly. Like, look, listen, just cut your losses right now. Have him rot wherever he's going to sit at all season long.
Oh,
and just,
God.
And just wait for the right package. It's a done deal at this point. We don't need this headache on our minds anymore. Just let him sit to the side. Wait till somebody gets mad. Wait till one of these star players want to dip. And then they can come to Philly. And then they can actually hoop and want to play ball.
Or you can wait for an injury to happen and teams being forced to recalibrate based on what they got left available to them. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that they will have more leverage as the season progresses. But the one thing that you can't account for in this whole situation is how much the Ben Simmons distraction affects what the Philadelphia Sixers are in the regular season. Like, that's the part that we can't account for. Like, I know that they're going to be a team that's going to be in the postseason, but, like, when we start looking at the other teams in the Eastern Conference, like, I'm not necessarily sure that it's a team that I expect to be at the top of the standings without Ben Simmons.
Absolutely, you're right. Make no mistake, you're not a better team with him sitting off to the side, especially you're an Embiid injury away from him missing like 20 games or whatever and then sliding into that play-in slot. But I just think you stand your ground here and you just wait it out. That's the best thing you can do right now. Just forget about the – like, don't think in the near sight. Just think in the future. All right, long term, what's the best for us? We can't just get a pennies on a dollar. Let's just wait it out a little bit. Wait till somebody gets mad, and then that's when we start talking some real trades.
Well, and again – start talking something real in this situation, I think, what everyone wants. Because, again, Doc Rivers was doing what he thought he had to do, what the Sixers, I'm sure, feel like they got to do. Damage control in this spot as Ben Simmons apparently making it very clear he don't want any part of them right now. Tune in to an NL West battle tonight. The Padres host the Giants. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We'll get to the situation going on in the Padres dugout coming up here in just a little bit. But coming up next, what about the situation in the Miami quarterback room? Are the Dolphins really capable of more here in the short term with Jacoby Brissett under center? We'll head down to Florida after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, football season is here, and there are lots of college and pro games that you get to watch. Grab a 5-Hour Energy to stay alert and watch all your favorite games. You don't want to be asleep during the witching hour. That transition, oh, that sweet transition at the end of the 1 o'clock window into the 4 o'clock window. So grab a 5-Hour Energy and try the 5-Hour Energy Extra Strength Cherry flavor. It's an unreal taste and it'll keep you ready to go. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. Find over 15 flavors to choose from. With flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack, but if you're out and about, remember, you can always pick up a 5-Hour Energy shot right at your local grocery or convenience store, because they're everywhere. Jeff Darlington joins us next here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we saw in that game against the Buffalo Bills, quarterback Tua Tagovailoa ended up having an injury, fractured ribs, and is expected to be out. We have head coach Brian Flores making the official announcement today.
You know, I said on Monday that we're going to run some more tests. We ran those tests. Tua is, he'll be out this week. He has fractured ribs. So obviously he's in a lot of pain. So he'll be out this week. Jacoby will start. And we're just going to take it week to week, really, you know, let's call it day to day and week to week. But he'll be out this week. Just kind of want to, you know, put that out there right now.
And now we're going to bring in Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider. He's going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jeff, I know you were down at the presser today, and do you have any more insight that you can offer us with the situation regarding the quarterback for the Dolphins?
Well, you know, it's definitely interesting from the standpoint that this was a scenario that, while, you know, I think a lot of people were sort of expecting that he could miss this game, even if it was just bruised ribs, when Flores kind of dropped the bomb that, in fact, the follow-up test revealed fractured ribs, of course, this becomes a more disconcerting situation. Wonder how long he might be out. And, you know, there is some precedent for this. I think some people were kind of like, wait a second, now he has fractured ribs? Like, what's up there? But, you know, Drew Brees last year, first we thought that it was rib contusions, later revealed that fractured ribs. He ended up missing 4 games. It doesn't sound like this is as bad as that. But I guess 4 games, if you were to set an over-under, I'd probably say the under on a 4-game absence for Tua.
So, Jeff, in the immediacy here, what kind of confidence do the Dolphins have in Jacoby Brissett? We've seen him in plenty of other spots here, but does the offense change much with him under center for them?
It's funny. I think it was Flores who said Monday that really the only thing that changes with the offense is you have a right-handed quarterback instead of a left-handed quarterback, which actually sounds kind of complicated if you really think about it. But I don't think beyond that. This is not a system, as Jacoby Brissett said today, this is not Tua's offense, this is not my offense, this is the Dolphins' offense. And there's some truth to that. I don't think that they necessarily do a lot of things that are centered strictly around Tua's skill set. It's not like he's a overly mobile quarterback anyway, so it's not like they have to, like, certainly change the offense maybe the same way that they might for Justin Fields and Andy Dalton in Chicago.
Jeff, I know you're saying that the offense isn't going to change, but one thing that definitely needs to change about that offense is the way they protect the quarterback. That's what them in this situation. I mean, the Bills' defensive line was just teeing off on Tua and Jacoby Brissett. Any plans for any shakeup along that group? What are you hearing about the Dolphins in terms of them trying to address the issues that they're having along their front?
Yeah, there is talk of that. I think it was Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald had reported this morning that there was going to be a personnel change at the guard spot, maybe some shifting going on there where Flores tries to find the right combination. We'll see exactly what they do, but certainly Flores today making very clear that, you know, they'll do what they need to do to get this thing fixed. There is no question within the Dolphins building that they know if they can't get that offensive line fixed, they're going to be in for a world of hurting that will make those fractured ribs feel like a rainy or an easy day in the park.
Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL insider, with us here on Canty and Golic Jr. Zooming out a little bit more, Jeff, we know Tua came into his Dolphins tenure coming off that hip injury at Alabama, and now missing time with the ribs here. It's been a tough, limited sample size with Tua, but does the timing of this and the potential severity have anyone around there, anyone you've talked to, concerned long-term about how this young quarterback develops?
Well, I mean, it feels a little unfair to say that there's, like you said, there's not enough of a sample size to really feel like we know what Tua will be for the organization. But certainly when you do see, you know, the injuries piling up, you know, you want to just know. I think that's the biggest thing for the Dolphins. By the end of the season, they want to know what they have in Tua. And if that is in part that he is not durable enough, maybe that's one aspect of it. But really, they want to see him healthy enough to show them what he has as a quarterback, and they just don't know that yet. And they didn't find out last year, and now all of a sudden you've got him out this year. So I think that would be the most problematic thing for the Dolphins. If they ended this season feeling like they didn't know what they had in Tua, that'd be a real problem moving forward in the 2021 offseason.
Jeff, switching sides and going to the defensive side of the ball, Xavien Howard feels like he's picked up where he's left off. He's otherworldly.
Yeah, man.
Has there been any more news on the contract front with them? I know they tried to put a Band-Aid on it throughout the course of training camp, but any news on what they're planning to do long-term with him?
No, I think that Band-Aid was basically the fix. I mean, I don't think that Howard can expect to go into the next offseason and look for a different contract. So it felt like they got that worked out. And to your point, man, he is playing really good football. This is a guy who very clearly is going to be a defensive player of the year candidate. So they got a good one there. They just got to get the offensive side of the ball rolling.
Awesome stuff, Jeff. We know it's a busy day with all this news rolling in. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes here, and we will see and keep an eye on those ribs. Like you said, we hope this doesn't turn into anything more long-term here.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Awesome stuff, Jeff Darlington, at Jeff Darlington on Twitter is where you can check out more of that from him. And the Drew Brees comparison was immediately where my mind went to first. Chris, younger quarterback. So again, we don't think about Drew Brees was, you know, near the end of his tenure there suffering that. It was fractures in like 11 places. And so he ended up coming back trying to, you know, play out the end of that season. And for Tua, the risk is just going to be, you know, Drew Brees did that behind one of the best offensive lines in football. If they don't make the necessary changes, you're putting Tua right back in a spot where you can crack those bad boys open again.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about a quarterback that's already shown himself to be injury prone, so you don't want him behind a leaky offensive line. They got to get that situation fixed, Mike. I mean, you pointed it out earlier in the week. The Miami Dolphins are bad in all the wrong places, and opposing defenses are going to exploit that offensive line. So it's not exactly the circumstances that you want in terms of trying to develop a young franchise quarterback, and certainly with a guy like Tua, who still has a lot of show and prove left in the eyes of the fan base in terms of being dubbed the future franchise quarterback. So, I mean, this is a tough spot for Chris Greer and Brian Flores to be in, but they're going to have to figure out a way out of this.
All right, well, we're going to wait and see as the Miami Dolphins try and make sense of this again. Jacoby Brissett going to be the starter in the interim here, a guy who's played plenty of quality football around this league, a veteran presence in that room, as this team tries to sort out its identity on offense. Well, as you mentioned, Xavien Howard and that defense, certainly no bones about who they are. Coming up next, though, a lot of those questions for people waking up Wednesday. I will tell you why 50 Cent woke up as the happiest man on planet Earth this Wednesday in America. That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests joined us via the Goodyear Hotline. Big shout out to L. Duncan, our very own SportsCenter host, Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Chicago, Brooke Pryor, ESPN Pittsburgh, and Jeff Darlington for coming through on today's show. And Mike, we got a lot of news, especially with young quarterbacks in the National Football League this show. I got to say, man, I'm excited about what week three is going to bring us, but I'm as excited about what we like to call keep that same energy. And so we got to kick that off before we get on out of here.
That is true. Mills Mafia this weekend. Davis
yes,
Mills.
Davis Stanford Mills, Thursday Night Football. How about that?
Thursday Night Football. Welcome in the Carolina Panthers and the sexiest defense through 2 weeks in the NFL. Have fun with that one, Rook. Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And keep that same energy. We had a little bit of a dust-up in the dugout for the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis got into it a little bit the other day. Machado telling him it's not all about you. All this different stuff as the Padres season has just spiraled out of control since the All-Star break here. Well, guys, they stood together next to each other and it appears to be all good coming off the weekend. I believe Fernando Tatis even said, this is going to make us stronger. It's going to bring us together. Chris, this just seems to be indicative of a team that's been in a bit of a tailspin right now, despite all the money they've paid to these young stars and their awesome gold swag chain.
Yeah, it was all good a couple of months ago, but since then, the Padres season kind of got away from them. And listen, seasons kind of get away from you a lot when you're facing a team like the St. Louis Cardinals, who are firmly in control of their wild card fate. So I can understand why those frustrations will boil up to a head. But all's well that ends well. Both of them back on the same page. Machado called Tatis his little brother, so it seems like it's all good in the hood. But, I mean, it's just one of those things, man, with a team that had such high hopes, how they've kind of fallen flat on their face. It's a little disappointing.
It is. He mentioned, and it's true, We're always going to be together no matter what. We've got a lot of years here together moving forward. They're going to be around a while, so you better hope they're both getting along here because you paid them both a good chunk of change to go ahead and make this thing work. Keeping that same energy, we remind you to tune in to an NL West battle tonight to see if Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis are all good as the Padres host the Giants, who have been absolutely walloping everyone in here, looking like the best team in baseball. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Sticking with the mound, though, Chris, we had a thing happen last night in Chicago. The Cubs played Tuesday night and decided to invite Conor McGregor, the famed UFC fighter, out to throw that first pitch. And Chris, I don't know if the suit was too tight. I don't know if he's ever picked up a ball in his life to throw to anybody else here. But Conor McGregor has now officially supplanted 50 Cent for the worst first pitch we have seen in the history of first pitches.
Mike, I don't know how a world-class athlete can look so bad at throwing out a first pitch. It's not like he's even worried about standing on the mound, because I get how that can be a little bit different, throwing a pitch from the mound. But like from flat ground, being able to get the ball to home plate, what are you talking about, 55 feet? You can't make that throw? I don't even understand how the ball ends up completely out of the screen. It makes no sense to me. A guy can throw a punch to knock somebody out, but he can't throw a pitch. It's mind-numbing how bad Conor McGregor looked last night at Wrigley Field.
And this isn't a new problem for UFC fighters. Like, one of his fellow fighters, Justin Gaethje, took to Twitter and said, "I cannot stop laughing at this. Every MMA fighter has represented us doing this, has looked terrible, but this takes the cake." So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something about the fight game where you just don't spend a lot of time. You're in the gym so much doing other stuff, you don't pick up a ball. But Chris, it just seems like a natural motion. Like, have you never thrown something across the room to someone? He can't be afraid of pressure. Like, there are a litany of excuses that would apply to people that have not lived the life he has.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, but it's one of those things that I like making fun of it from a distance. I don't want to be in the same room and have the jokes on Conor McGregor because I don't want them problems. I'm just saying.
Well, I'll pose this question to both Mike and Chris. Would you guys throw out the first pitch if invited?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. But, I mean, yeah, I have no reservations about throwing out a first pitch.
No.
Like, none.
None. Because the worst thing that happens, like, I promise you, I'm not going to do that. I might dirt the ball. Like, listen, I watched my dad throw out a bunch of first pitches. Sometimes that's just the way it's going to go if you try and place it. I promise you, I'm not going to airmail it 15 yards over the guy's head. Book that one.
Just saying.
Call me.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The Yarga. Listen, we've seen it. We'll make it happen around there if need be here. But let's head back to the mound and watch a professional get things done here. So, Jazz Chisholm, infielder for the Miami Marlins, brought a little energy to the lineup here. He hit a home run off Nationals pitcher Josh Rogers. And when he got to home plate, decided to celebrate a little bit. Hit him with a Euro step heading to home plate. Josh Rogers struck him out last night and decided to return the favor on the mound. Chris, this really illustrates two points for me. One, celebrating in baseball is fun. No one got hurt in this. We didn't have to throw a baseball at anyone because that's a dumb way to police the game, and everyone had a good time. And two, Euro-stepping is one of the most inherently fun things that you can do. The amount of times coming back from the bathroom here in Bristol where I Euro-step no one in the hallway and lay an imaginary ball up off the wall is too many to count. And so I feel like those two things together make this a really perfect moment for baseball.
Yeah, I haven't quite gotten the whole Euro-step thing down, but I will say this. It's fun to watch. Like, I'm all about Jazz Chisholm and baseball players being able to show more of their personality. So I'm completely with you on that front. Like, that's a sport that's been trying to appeal to a younger demographic, and being able to have players celebrate the way that these two guys have the last couple of nights, like, I'm all here for it. I don't see the downside in it. And even if somebody does take offense in one of those dugouts, we know that baseball players ain't about that life. Even if they clear the benches, they're not finna do nothing. So keep on with the celebrating. We want to see more Euro steps, and we want to see the pitchers actually try to show up the hitters as well when they get their day. So I'm all about what happened to it last night. It was pretty cool to watch.
This will surprise no one. I didn't play a lot of basketball. Like, I played in like middle school and stuff like that. Didn't necessarily have the ability to go. So I've never done like a Euro step with a ball in your hand. But the most, just like, so inherently fun to just try and do that without the ball or anything like that. It just makes you feel way more athletic, in my case, than I actually am, which is a huge positive.
Yeah, here's the thing about the Eurostep. Like, these are all of the things, the fundamentals that they told us not to do, like, actually now are integral parts of the game. Like, when you were in middle school, they didn't tell you that Eurostepping was a good thing. They tried to discourage that, jumping off of the wrong foot, all of those different types of things. So, like, it's just interesting to see how things come around and how things change over the course of time.
We got quarterbacks throwing from all different levels right now. Patrick Mahomes throwing balls behind his back and sidearm. The rules have gone out. They're going, we need to play by their old games anymore here. This is a new age where I can Eurostep in peace out here by this bathroom where no one is going to see me here. All right, coming up next, stick around. Spain and Fitz are coming up on ESPN Radio, followed by Giants Padres next.